Kingdom kids have not gone to the kingdom, then make your way. It's great to see all of you. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas with your family and a lot of good food was eaten. I have checked the scales and yes, I gained some weight. Yeah, it's New Year's resolution time. I've been seeing the commercials on TV for Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and, you know, this and that. So yeah, we're thinking about resolutions and I saw a prayer that somebody had written. It says, "Dear God, my prayer for 2019 is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix it up like you did last year." So I thought that was fairly cute. Some of you probably or may have y'all seen the resolution to not have a resolution? That's one New Year's resolution. And then I came across this. I thought this was pretty good. It says, "I have only one resolution, to rediscover the difference between wants and needs. May I have all I need and want all I have." So I thought that was pretty good. That's a pretty good resolution. And that's what I want to spend some time talking about. I know it's on our minds and God certainly wants us to be resolved. I remember the old song, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight." Y'all remember that song? "Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight." Anyway, so let's think about that. Think about the word with me, resolution, for just a moment. Webster defines the word resolution as marked by firm determination. And so it means different things to a lot of different people. It depends on what you're doing, like the musician. When a musician thinks about resolution, resolution is a harmony line that is moving from a dissonant tone, one that doesn't match the melody, to a consonant tone, one that fits. That's what a resolution is. And the harmonies, they can dance and amaze us and do all kinds of wonderful things with great complexity, but eventually, for harmony to be harmony, it must resolve, right? And so to the writer, what's a resolution? A resolution is the end of the story when all the conflict and all the hardship that they've gone through finally is resolved and there is an ending that ends well. The chemist, when he thinks about a resolution, he's thinking about the separation of a chemical compound back into its constituents or its simplest parts. To the statesman, what's a resolution? To the statesman, a resolution is an expression of the collective determined will of an elected bodily. They have formed a resolution. To the graphic artist, what is resolution? It's the sharpness of the pixel count on the screen and the quality of the image that's produced. That's a resolution. And so, by any definition, a resolution is characterized by a return to simplicity. It's a focus on a sharp distinction and a determination broken down in its simplest, most harmonious parts. And think about it. What would the world be like? Think with me for a moment. If we didn't have resolution, without resolution in art, science, or government, and life in general, life would fall apart into chaos. Without resolution, there's no foundation on which we can stand. And so we all thrive and we all need resolution in our lives. Jesus was resolved. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Look at chapter 9 with me for just a moment. And we see this in Jesus' life. And I want us to be thankful for a moment and to think deeply about the fact that, isn't it wonderful that Jesus had a resolve? That he had a particular direction. That he took all of life and put it, his life, and put it in its most basic, simplest form, and he dedicated himself to one thing, and that was to carry out his Father's will. And as a result of his resolution, you and I are brought into fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another, and we're promised eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus had a resolve, amen? And so we need resolve in our life. A great example is Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. The scriptures say this, "As the time approached for him to be taken to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Now, what is awaiting him in Jerusalem? What's awaiting him? An arrest? abuse, hardship, beating, mockery, vulnerability, exposure on a cross, but he has one mission. And he's able to endure whatever he's faced in his life because of this one mission. And his one mission is driven by love. And so Jesus has a resolution, and he asks us as Christians, followers of his, to be resolved. As a matter of fact, earlier in Luke chapter 9, it said in verse 21, it says this, look with me. It says, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And so we see Jesus, he has a resolve, and he says earlier to his disciples that you need to have a resolution. If you're going to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me. If you really want to save your life, you know what's going to be required of you. You're going to have to be resolved to lose your life. To put the kingdom of God above all things. And when we do, what we're going to discover in our lives is that all things then come into place. They move into harmony. They resolve. And rather than a dissonant experience of life, we have a consonant, one that's in harmony with the Lord God Almighty. And folks, that's what we want to think about today. As Jesus shared this with his disciples, it's very interesting that right after this text, we read that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they beheld the glory of Jesus as he was transformed in front of them. And the glory of God shone all around them. And there present with them was Moses and Elijah, the givers of the law, the representative of the prophets of the old. And they tell Jesus about his exodus, his departure. And then there's this voice of God that speaks to the disciples, and it says, listen to him. All right, if I have an experience like that, one that is of transcendent, amazing, incredible glory, one that has never been experienced before and will never be experienced again until the return of Jesus Christ. If I'm one of the disciples and if I've experienced this and I have seen Moses and Elijah who've long since departed and I see the glory of Jesus and I hear the glory of God's voice and my basic call from God to me is listen to him, it would make a lot of sense to listen to Jesus. Amen, church? And we experienced this through the text. We are told to listen to the words of God. What's interesting is not long after that experience, Luke also tells us in the same chapter that Jesus was encountered by a man with a young boy who couldn't be healed by the disciples. And it was because of evidently their lack of faith. And so Jesus says, how long am I going to have to put up with this lack of faith among you? And then next, what follows in the story is that they're walking along and they're following Jesus and an argument breaks out among the brethren there, the 12 disciples. And guess what they're arguing about? They have a resolve. Their argument is about who's going to be the greatest. And so they're arguing with each other, you know, who's going to be the Secretary of Defense, who's going to be the Secretary of State, who's going to be the Secretary of Treasury, who's going to have this position of power, the right hand and the left hand, and whatever positions of power, because Jesus, in their mind, is coming into his kingship. And so they're arguing among themselves as though they get to choose what positions they're going to have. Or maybe it's based on their own personal ambition. If they can persuade and manipulate the situation enough, maybe put down a few others that are there among the group and exalt themselves, then surely Jesus will choose them and pick them and they'll get everything that they want in life. Amen? I'm glad we don't do that today, right? We don't have those kind of ambitions where we put ourselves first and we only think about ourselves and we manipulate others and we put down others to elevate ourselves, make ourselves look good in this setting and that setting so that we can manipulate life in order to get what we want. Because we think if we get what we want, then we'll fill in the blank. I'll be happy. I'll be successful. I'll be content. I'll be important. I'll be satisfied. I brought with me this shirt up here. Y'all probably wondering, what in the world? Is he going to get so hot and sweaty and worked up while he's preaching he needs to change shirts? No, I would never change shirts in front of y'all. I never had that body, and I still don't to this day. So anyway, I'll spare you for that. But I did want to bring this up here for an illustration. Now, when you're putting on a shirt that requires buttons, it's very important that you get the first button right. Because if you don't get the first button right, all the other buttons are wrong, right? So, I mean, how many of you gotten up early in the morning, especially you guys that's got shirts like this, and you're putting your shirt on, and maybe you start with a button right there, and then a button right here, and you finish up buttoning your shirt, and you come in to the room where your wife is, and she looks at you and laughs because your shirt looks something like this. Your collar's off, right? And so she says, honey, oh dear, 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 what am I going to do with you? And because of her kindness and goodness, she'll sit there and help you rearrange. Now, generally, I don't start from the top. I start from the bottom. But on a number of occasions, I've taken these extra buttons that they have down here at the bottom, and I've accidentally put those in the bottom. And then if I do, it messes up all the other ones going up to the top. Do you know the same is true in our lives? What does God tell us in his scripture? What's the first thing? What should you resolve to do first? What's the first thing? What was it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you know, Glenda, that is, and the rest of us, that is consistent with what God told Israel there at Mount Sinai when he gave them the law. What was the very first thing that God said to the Israel there at the law? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, Israel, if you want to get this thing right, if you want to get the covenant right, you want to get relationships right, where you'll experience favor with God and man, then get your relationship with God right. And you know, doesn't Jesus affirm the same exact thing? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. That might be worth just thinking about the next few days. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you as well. Well, what things? Well, Jesus had just gotten through talking about not worrying about things, right? Yeah, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Look at the way God clothes everything else in creation. If he can do it for them, do you think he can't do it for you? You know, don't worry about your life, he'll say. Because that's what the pagans do. That's a distinguishing difference between the believer and the unbeliever, is the placement of God in one's life. That the thing that we seek first to resolve to do is to seek first Jesus. Seek first the kingdom. And then it says, get the button right. And then all of these things will be added unto you. You see, if we don't get the first thing right, everything else is disordered. It's out of its place. And when things are disordered and out of their place, what then do we think and feel? Is that not the source of our anxiousness? Is that not the source of our worry? Is this not the source of our anxiety? And we begin to worry and worry and worry and fret. And we struggle in life because we've not resolved to do the first things first. That we want God to be first in our lives. So we think about what we're going to do different in 2019. I know some of you are like, I don't want to do resolutions. But okay, well, you just did one. You resolved not to resolve. And guess what? If you aim for nothing, you will hit it every single time. You hear me, church? Say amen. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every single time. You're either going to resolve or you'll have a default resolution. Pick one. And a default resolution is it's being contested for all the time. It's being fought for. We're constantly bombarded with messages asking us to focus our life on this. For instance, just to think about it. Do you realize that the average American will watch TV 30 hours per week? So that's 65 days a year of nonstop TV watching. By the time somebody graduates from high school, get this, Eli, somebody watch, not that you do this all the time, don't y'all be looking at him like he's guilty and I'm trying to straighten him up, but I'm like, check this out, this is amazing. He's an amazing young man, amen. He is an amazing young man. By the time you graduate from high school, students will have viewed 360,000 commercials. And the average 65-year-old will have watched 2 million commercials. Each of these commercials has been created by really, really smart people who have packed their little short ads with powerful images, catchy music, and humor, and memorable slogans. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Hump day? And on and on. I mean, Madison Avenue is great at what they do, but guess what they're trying to do? Constantly bombard you with the message that if you do this, have this experience, do this thing, possess this, then you're going to have true happiness and deep satisfaction. In other words, they want you to attach to their resolve that they have for you. And so you're either going to choose a resolution on purpose and with thought, or you'll fall into a default resolution or resolutions in your life. So TV constantly gives us this worldview. And if you and I followed the worldview of TV commercials, the Beatitudes might be written like this. For instance, blessed are those who fly to luxury vacation spots on tropical islands where they lie in chaise lounge chairs, the only two people on an enormous white beach, for they shall be satisfied. Or how about this one? Blessed are those who drink much beer, for they shall be surrounded by carefree football-watching buddies and highly attractive, socially gifted women in the first half of their life, and they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who have the latest smartphone, for they shall gaze on a screen swirling with color and shall get all the information they need just when they need it, and they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who have outstanding kids. Verily, I say unto you, highly blessed are those who have a golden Labrador retriever bounding along on that slow motion video day of playing with the kids in the park, for they shall be the envy of real families everywhere when they post it on social media, and they shall be satisfied. All right, do you get my point? Y'all say yes because you want to go eat, right? So you get my point, amen? You get it. See, there's a worldview. Everyone is contesting for your resolution. And unless you've made one, you will have one by default because that's just how powerful the messages are. So what is your resolution? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and you will be satisfied. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's not something we accomplish on our own. It's because we choose the free, loving gift of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures say we will be satisfied. So where do you place the button in your life? Where will it stop? It start at the top where it belongs, or do we get our buttons misaligned? Some people may think, you know, for me to be happy and complete in life, I have to have a wife or a husband. And they need to be rich, athletic, or beautiful, right? And so what do? Rather than asking God, God, what is your will for my life and my relationships with others? What's a godly man or a godly woman look like, and that's the one that I choose? Or do I just need to find the first available one that I think will meet most of my needs in my life? And then what do? We marry that person, and then we ask them to meet all of our needs, and we're a parasite. We take rather than we give, and we suck the life out of them, and they suck the life out of us. And two ticks with no dog, they don't have a dog because they've sucked the life out of it, right? See, we don't have a host. We just suck the life out of each other. It's because we've misaligned our life. Or I have to have this education. Why do you have to have this education? Well, so I can have this kind of job. Why do you have to have this kind of job? Well, God, I want to use my talents and my abilities that God has gifted me so that I can be actively involved and bless the kingdom with my intellect and with my ability to make money that God has blessed me with. Or is this because, well, I want the house that I want and the neighborhood that I want to be around the people that I want? And on we could fill in the blank. Or I have to retire by this age. Well, why do you have to retire by this age? Is retirement bad or ungodly? No. Well, why do you have to retire by this age? Well, I just want to be free. I don't want to have anybody telling me what to do. Or I want to retire by this age because I can then dedicate more time to serving the Lord and His church. I want this job so that I can devote first things to first things. Is this a job that allows me to be a part of the church and God's kingdom? Or is this a job that takes me away from my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, you need to answer those kind of things. Well, it depends on what your resolution is. It depends on what's important. Are we chasing after things, or are we chasing after the love of God? So, I know I'm preaching. A disordered life is any life without God being the number one resolution of our lives. Let me say that one more time. A disordered life is any life without God being the number one resolution of our lives. Do we trust Jesus? It really comes down to trust. I'm preaching to me. It really comes down to trust. There's the fight that we have in our lives. Trust in ourselves, trust in the Lord. Seeking first God, or seeking first to secure life for ourselves. I think God displays His faithfulness every single day. And we either get it or we miss it. And when we miss it, it steals our peace. It steals my peace. And you know what happens when my peace is stolen? Or actually, when my peace is given away voluntarily because I've focused on the wrong things. Do you know what happens when I become that kind of person? If you ask, you could ask Rebecca or Eli or Hannah or Mindy, and they could tell you. What happens when John gets anxious, right? So I get short, and then I get bossy, and I get demanding, and I wonder why everybody's ignorant around me. I'm surrounded by dummies, right? But who's the real dummy in this scenario? I am. Because I gave up what belonged to me, which was given to me by Jesus. So as you think about your resolutions for this year, first of all, thank God that Jesus was resolved, because you are blessed. As a result of that blessing, you have been promised that when you and I seek first the kingdom, that all of these things will be added to as well. Right? And if all these things have been added to us, then what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or what you're going to drink. Or he says, and why do you worry about your clothes? He says, stop worrying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. And then he says, but seek first. Get it right. Get the top button right. Amen? And you'll be looking good. Get that top button right. and all these things will be added unto you. Church family, we have this time of invitation this morning. It's a wonderful time. It's a time when you can come front, surrounded by a loving church that has a t-shirt that says, been there, done that, God saved me again. And no matter where you are in your life and what's going on, maybe y'all have had some resolutions that just haven't been spot on. And you'd like to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that today. And when you do that, know that your church family is going to be praying for you. Maybe you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe it's time to make him number one, to give your life in Christ, in baptism. Let him give a new birth to you. Give you all the promises that he's promised to bless us with in Jesus. Whatever it is, we have this time of invitation. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Come forward while we stand and sing.